Joan Armour Trading and Love and Affection. Before that, Genesis Home by the Sea. Yeah, shame we can't actually go to the sea. I don't know what's happened to the Genesis revival tour. They might have to be scrapped, I suppose.
Yeah, I will get round to listening to the CD you gave me.
A trick of the tail.
Yes.
They're trying to turn Sarah into a Genesis fan. Even so, right.
I am, but there was the one track I said was my favourite. You said, "Ah, that's what led you to give me the CD."
Was that No Son of Mine? Was it?
No, it was a ballad.
But it's a slow one.
Slow
isn't
one. It was a slow one. That's my favourite.
Yeah,
he said, "No." He said, "No, that's not the Genesis. Listen to this."
Now, ever since vast parts of the world were placed into lockdown, people across the world have had to quickly acclimatise to spending an increased amount of time at home and indoors. Yeah. Tell me about it. A disruption to everyday life has been far-reaching. While some have had to become accustomed to working from home every day, others have been unable to work at all. The way in which our lives have transformed in such a short space of time has heavily impacted our daily routines, says The Independent, as many individuals no longer have to wake up at a certain time in order to be punctual for school or work. This has seemingly resulted in an increasing number of people experiencing grogginess amid the coronavirus pandemic. Anybody else feeling seriously sluggish and groggy in the morning since lockdown started? Said one person in a tweet. Now, this lockdown has ruined my sleep cycle completely. Even when I do sleep, I wake up tired and groggy, somebody else said. Now, the medical term for grogginess is sleep inertia, according to Dr. Natasha Bijilli, a consultant psychiatrist at the Priory Hospital in Roehampton. Grogginess refers to a phase in between sleep and wakefulness when an individual doesn't feel fully awake. People who are affected feel drowsy, have difficulty thinking clearly, and can be disorientated and clumsy for a while after waking. Yeah, now you know how I feel between 3 and 5 o'clock in the morning.
Every morning.
I'm just about over it by 5 o'clock. Matthew Walker, Professor of Neuroscience and Psychology at the University of California and author of Why We Sleep, compares the way in which a brain wakes up to an old car engine, stating that sleep inertia occurs when sleepiness is still hanging around in the brain. You just can't switch it on and then drive very fast. It needs time to warm up. Now, the reason why a person may be experiencing grogginess could be down to a variety of reasons, he said. These include sleeping at a time that doesn't suit your chronotype, such as being a night owl or an early bird, not sleeping for a long enough period of time, not enjoying good quality sleep, or an underlying sleep issue such as sleep apnea. While these reasons may indicate why a person is experiencing grogginess on an occasional regular basis, they do not clarify why there appear to be an increasing number of people frequently feeling groggy during lockdown. And one of the main reasons why people may be feeling quite groggy as of late is reduced exposure to natural daylight, said Professor Colin Espy, Professor of Sleep Medicine at the University of Oxford. With UK government guidelines dictating that members of the public can do one form of outdoor exercise a day and only leave the house for activities such as going to the supermarkets or picking up medicine, time spent outdoors will have been drastically reduced in recent weeks.
Very true. You are supposed to see the daylight, aren't you? You're not supposed to get up before it.
You need the vitamin D.
Yeah, but it's also psychological. Your happiness, whatever you produce that makes you happy.
So you're not supposed to what?
You're supposed to be able to see the sunrise. Like, getting up before is not good for your happiness level.
I never see the sunrise.
No, well, that explains a
lot. Or the sunset, either.
No, yeah. Well...
apart from in the winter, but, but, I mean, we are lucky because at least there's plenty of outdoors. I mean, I know there's some people who don't have terraces and gardens and the rest of it, but I feel particularly lucky to have both, so... being able to at least go outside and potter around the garden. Here's this morning's comedy, bit of Alf Garnett with a message for everyone.
Listen, I'm old age pensioner, right? And I'm proud of it. But there's no reason why I've got to be treated like a second-class citizen by like an inferior species. Look at me, my friends. I am your future. This is what you're going to become, all of you. Ain't my fault I've lived this long. I know the government ain't keen. I know they like to pack us all off to eternity if they had a chance. Most old people I know are too terrified to go into hospital in case they get bumped off in there. Geriatric holocaust. What I say is this, if they don't want to treat us in their hospitals, give us back all the money we put in there over the years.
Yeah, fair point.
Today's quiz, question number one. On this day in 1997, the Bank of England was given independence from political control, the most significant change in its 300-year history. Which song by The Jam features the lyrics Bank of England?
Ooh. I should know this, but I'm afraid I don't.
Do you want me to give you,
give me a clue, the lyrics?
Between the devil and the deep blue sea, let's take a chance with beginner's luck. We have nothing, so there's nothing to lose. I can't believe the only reasons we're here are the reasons in the Bank of England.
Beat Surrender, is it?
No, it was We've Only Just Started.
Oh, don't know that one, actually. Okay.
Question number two. On this day in 2004, the final of television sitcom Friends was shown on channel NBC, attracting over 42 million viewers. Who sang and what was the title of the theme song?
The Rembrandts. I'll be there for you.
Well done. And finally, on this day in 1889, the Paris exhibition formally opened, featuring the just-completed Eiffel Tower. Which French singer had a hit in 1969 with a famous Paris Avenue?
Joe Dassin.
Yeah, and the
Champs-Élysées.
Correct.
You're going to make me play that, are you?
I am.
Okay.
Well, I never make you do anything. You do what you want to do. But
he did L'été Indien as well, didn't he?
He certainly did.
Do, do, do. Well, this is just a memory. That one. I quite like that, actually.
Oh, were you going to play that one?
Everybody clap along.
Jean-Pierre
Foucault.
Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Are we still shaving or have you got out of the habit?
Still intermittent shaving.
Intermittent shaving.
Yeah, it has to be said.
And Mrs. Potts is keeping on your toes, is she?
Yeah, there's a home style haircuts happening in the Potts household.
Oh.
So bought a clipper, which is working quite nicely.
Yeah, well, you haven't got much anyway. So
exactly. There's not too much risk in relation to that. It has to be said. But there's quite a few things that I think will continue after. Hopefully, we get back to a more normal world, at least a post-coronavirus world that will continue. And I think home haircuts will be one of them.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
But come on, you've got to support the economy. Surely the local hairdressers in Cobham needs all the help it can get.
There's plenty for them to do in Cobham, believe me, no problems there.
Mind you, with you and Dominic Rabb around, there's probably not much trade anyway.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, markets. I mean, it's just stuck between a rock and a hard place at the moment, isn't it? I mean, we had a rally on Wall Street yesterday, which kind of fizzled out towards the bell. And as we were mentioning yesterday, it's just the increasing tensions between China and the United States that's bothering people at the moment.
Yeah, that continues to play. It was a positive day yesterday for equity markets. So energy stocks pushed equity markets higher, helped by earnings updates, oil price gains. Investors also buoyed a little bit by plans from several countries for a gradual reopening of their economies. Stock 600 oil and gas sector in Europe surged more than 6.5%, best gains in a month after oil major Total maintained its dividend. Signs of an easing of the supply and demand imbalance that's pushed crude prices lower over the course of the past few weeks. Saw Brent breaking above $30 a barrel yesterday for the first time since April the 15th. WTI in the United States rose for a fifth straight session. It's more than doubled from a low of $10 a barrel last week. Stock 600 in Europe in general across the market closed up 2.2%. All sectors were in positive territory. Over on Wall Street, the S&P 500 still closed in positive territory. It was up 0.9%. NASDAQ was up 1.1%, helped by continued gains in technology as investors bet the new normal world will become more reliant on technology infrastructure. But as you say, the question is, can we hang on to those gains for any meaningful time? We are looking at a weaker start on the European bourses this morning. Currently calling FTSE down 30 points. DAX over in Frankfurt down 75 points. CAC in Paris off 35 points.
Well, this is the delicate balancing act the governments now have to do. Is it public health or is it the economy? And where is the tip of the scales?
Yeah, we know that President Trump has certainly been pushing for the US economy to reopen, and no doubt he was looking at the economic data that we saw yesterday, further evidence of the impact the coronavirus is having on the United States. Demand and employment in the US service sector collapsed in April, finding evidence the US economy will indeed experience an historic contraction during the course of this quarter. If you look at measures of business activities, new orders and employment all fell to a record lows last month. This is in figures that date back to 1997. According to the survey data from the Institute of Supply Management, which should remember represents about 90% of the economy, the figures follow similar falls in the ISM manufacturing gauges last week. The ISM composite non-manufacturing index fell by 10.7 points, that's to 11-year low 41.8. We are forecasting the US economy will contract by 12.1% in the second quarter, full year contraction coming in at 6.4%.
I guess it's a question of not swamping hospital intensive care units with people, isn't it? I mean, it's a sad fact that people do die, but once those figures are manageable and hospitals can cope sort of relatively easily, that is the time when you start opening up the economy again, isn't it?
Yeah, the idea of running economies hot revolves around an exit strategy that takes into account, I suppose, hospitals' capacity, takes into account the ability to test, and of course, availability of protective equipment. And you've seen improvements in many of those areas over the course of the past few weeks. The reality was the lockdown was never going to solve the virus, but it was really giving governments time to build up their health services so they're able to cater to this crisis. And hopefully we're now getting towards a point that that is the case.
You say, what kind of a world are we going to wake up to? What is going to be the new normal? And a particular attention being focused on the airline industry, which has really taken a big battering. And the IATA saying that it expected prices to rise by some 50% after initial drop in flights in prices.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we've continued to hear from airline companies talking about cutting jobs, cutting capacity. Virgin Atlantic, the latest one in the past 24 hours, saying they'd cut 3,000 jobs, said that they would no longer be using or would reduce their capacity at Gatwick, along with other companies saying that they wouldn't use that London airport. So we're starting to see the real effects of this shining through into the aviation industry. In the short term, the reality is they'll try to drive some element of demand by cheap prices, but as you continue to reduce capacity at the rate that's been suggested, inevitably there will start to be a squeeze and less opportunities for passengers, less availability and potentially higher prices.
And Virgin Atlantic shedding 3,000 staff and ceasing its Gatwick operations, as you alluded to. And Sir Richard Branson has really been taking a hammering, former darling of the business world, and now nobody can stand him. But I mean, it's all very well having a go at people who set up these businesses and have got a lot of wealth, but what people are forgetting is they provide an enormous amount of employment.
Yeah, they really do. I think it's 10,000 jobs, Virgin Atlantic in the UK. And, you know, some are public companies that are listed, of course, and they have other shareholders. But the reality is lots of companies have taken advantage of the business retention scheme, have benefited from government support. And the airline industry, as we know, is crucial to the global economy. It's something actually the UK does very well. Now, there's some debate as to who should be bailing out these struggling companies, whether they're billionaires, where their tax status is, has also been called into question, whether they have deep enough pockets to do it themselves. So some of these big fundamental questions are being asked as we see some of these strong companies really struggling. Now, the real framework that was put in place, or the suggested framework, was that if you're a viable company before the coronavirus, then you should continue to be one after we've gone through this process. But how that works in practical terms still remains very difficult for many policymakers to solve, particularly when there's nuances around some of those elements that we were talking about.
Well, whenever there's bad news around, Norman Lamont seems to make an appearance, doesn't he? And he's he's warned today that a lot of people just got no idea what is waiting for them around the corner, because once this furlough scheme is withdrawn, and we've heard from the Chancellor, Rishi Sunak, that he's planning to do that from July onwards, he said that a lot of people would just find they no longer had jobs and they didn't realise how bad their company's problems were.
Yeah, it's true, isn't it? And when you look at the retention schemes, the job furloughing system, it's quite remarkable the numbers are involved. I was looking at some reports yesterday that saying half of UK adult workers are now being paid under that furloughing scheme, which is quite incredible. At the moment in the UK, the government is paying up to 80% of wages to a maximum gross amount, I think it is, of £2,500 per month. But they're now suggesting the cost of that is almost the same as running the NHS. It's somewhere around £11 billion per month, and that is simply unsustainable. So the Chancellor is suggesting, as you look towards July, it may go down from 80% to 60%, and then we'll start to see whether companies really do hold on to those staff, whether it's a short-term effect or whether it's going to be much longer in terms of the impact it's going to have in terms of unemployment figures.
I know. What about if government ministers and MPs take a pay cut? Oh, that's not going to happen, is it?
That wouldn't be for me to say, it has to be said.
All right, very quickly, Disney's had quite a lot of trouble in the first quarter.
It has. Disney said the coronavirus has cost it $1.4 billion in lost profit. It's been forced to shutter its theme parks, close its movie theatres. Film production has been put on hold. ESPN, its sports network, has been left with no major live sports to broadcast. First quarter profit, therefore, fell 63%. Likely, they said, to take a bigger hit in the second quarter. Like many companies we've been talking about, they've been radically cutting costs. 120,000 staff on a furlough program. Executive salaries have been cut. One area they say they have been gaining is Disney Plus. That's its new streaming service. They said they had 54.4 million paying subscribers as of the 4th of May. In terms of the theme park, some light at the end of the tunnel there. Talking about reopening its Shanghai theme park next week. Reduced capacity around 30% or so. But they did say it's unclear when they're likely to open their other parks in Asia, US and Europe.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against the dollar coming in at 1.24 this morning. Euro dollar 1.08. You can get €1.14.5 for your British pound.
And can you go back to bed now?
If only that was the case.
Okay, talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good day.
Hank Potts from Barclays. It's
on FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyster has the top stories across the Riviera.
For the eighth consecutive day, there have been no new COVID-19 positive cases reported in the Principality. The number of cases still stands at 95. Three more patients have recovered, bringing the total number of people cured to 81. One person is in hospital in intensive care. To date, three patients are being cared for by the Home Monitoring Centre. Meanwhile, in the Outmarra team and the VAR, the coronavirus has claimed to date 415 lives. Doctors in Marseille have warned of a cluster of coronavirus cases in the north of the city. Ahead of the end of the lockdown in France, which is planned for Monday, May the 11th, three families in the same apartment block have tested positive for COVID-19. While the number of cases drops daily in the region, the reports of the new cluster cases has caused concern for doctors, highlighting the risk amongst those living in disadvantaged areas of Marseille. The distribution of protective masks has begun in the Gulf of Saint-Tropez. On Tuesday, door-to-door distribution began in Saint-Tropez itself to those who had registered. Registration is still possible by filling in an online form at www.saint-tropez.fr/masks or by filling in the paper form, which is available in shops. Distribution of masks in other communes in the area will be taking place over the next few days. With tourism in France representing 8% of the country's GDP, figures show that 13% of that is in the Provence-Alpes-Côte d'Azur region, where it generates $20 billion in turnover. According to the French government officials, due to the current health crisis, $5 billion has already been lost, along with 143,000 jobs. Speaking to industry unions, Jean-Baptiste Limonet, Secretary of the State of the Minister for Europe and Foreign Affairs, has said that several points need to be addressed, including the possibility of resorting to partial unemployment, which will be maintained for tourism businesses, the extension of the Solidarity Fund to businesses without employees and the self-employed, as well as the cancellation of rents and occupancy fees during the period of closure. The Secretary of State said that of the €4.5 billion validated by the state, €2.7 billion had been allocated for catering and €1.1 billion for hotels. He went on to say that in addition to the banks, the government also expects insurance companies, who have so far refused to do so, to play their part in compensating part of the operating losses of tourism businesses. The minister added that it is important to find an agreement with insurance companies and tourism professionals. Many tourism professionals are feeling concern over what they describe as the vagueness of the French government, and more detail is hoped to be outlined in the Tourism Committee meeting, which will take place with ministers on the 14th of May. In an interview following a visit to a school in the west of Paris region on Tuesday, French President Emmanuel Macron has said that France will know at the beginning of June where it will be possible to go on holiday. Macron said that international travel will be limited during the summer holidays to perhaps within Europe or even in a more restricted area, before adding that at the moment it is too early to say. On the subject of schools reopening on May the 11th, the head of state said that mayors who do not wish to open their schools will not be forced to do so. Figures for the VAR and the Alpmaritime region show that only 30 to 40% of parents are prepared to send their child to school from May the 11th. Meanwhile, this morning, Emmanuel Macron will hold a video conference with artists from different fields before announcing a specific aid plan for the cultural sector in France in the face of the coronavirus pandemic. A meeting of the Defence Council will take place on Thursday, May the 7th, and further decisions regarding deconfinement will be made. Prime Minister Edouard Philippe is expected to make a speech to present the plan for the end of the lockdown in France. It will be his last address ahead of the May the 11th, which marks an important first step in the progressive end to the lockdown in France. The Secretary of State for Digital has said that the Stop COVID app will be ready on June the 2nd. A testing phase will begin next week before being presented to deputies on May the 25th. The app aims to enable the tracing of people who have been in contact with someone suffering from the virus. A clinical trial of an existing drug is beginning in Paris to test its effectiveness in treating COVID-19. The trial of chlorpromazine, which is used to treat psychological disorders, will involve 40 people and will last about 1 month. It's the first time in the world that a trial of the drug has taken place with the aim of establishing its effectiveness against COVID-19. In a poll published on Tuesday and carried out by IFOP, the popularity rating of French President Emmanuel Macron has shown a sharp decline, while that of the Prime Minister Edouard Philippe is on the upward slope. Emmanuel Macron's rating drops by 6 points in 1 month, while that of Edouard Philippe climbs by 3 points and exceeds that of the head of state in the midst of the health crisis. Finally, a new report by the National Auditor has recommended that France modernises its immigration policy and increases the number of deportations of illegal immigrants. The Cour des Comptes says France's immigration system needs to be updated. The report examines the French government's efforts to ensure controlled immigration, respect the right of asylum, and foster the integration of immigrants already living in France. It concludes that there is a need for more realistic and tangible objectives.
Riviera Radio Sports News.
Formula One, the sports bosses have made a final offer to teams of a sliding scale budget cap from $145 million to $130 million over the next 3 years. The proposal is part of changes aimed at addressing the financial cost of the coronavirus pandemic and was set out in a letter to teams from Formula One managing director Ross Brawn. Teams will spend the coming days assessing the proposals before they're put to a vote. Football players from the England and Scotland men's teams have made significant financial donations to the UK National Health Service. The move has come as part of the hashtag Players Together movement, which has involved stars from the English Premier League. England players have donated a chunk of their match fees dating back to 2018, while Scotland players have made similar contributions. The players said in a statement that they stood by the nation in a time of crisis. And in rugby union, the chief executive of the English RFU has said it will be hit with revenue losses of £107 million if the 2020 Autumn Internationals are scrapped. Bill Sweeney said the revenue losses would reach £85 million if games were played without fans. England are due to play New Zealand, Australia, Tonga, Argentina at Twickenham in November. There have been suggestions another Six Nations tournaments could be organised to replace the Autumn Internationals if players from Southern Hemisphere countries can't travel.
The Marine Weather Forecast brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Be safe on the seas with Oyster Yachts.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almaritime and the VAR, the general situation is a depression, 1,030 millibars over the Rhone Delta. Winds are northerly, force 2 to 4. The sea is slight, visibility is moderate. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,014 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, partially cloudy, force 2 to 4, variable winds, slight seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, winds are variable, force 3 to 5. The sea is slight to moderate, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,015 millibars. And the outlook for Thursday, partially cloudy, force 2 to 4, variable winds, slight seas and good visibility.
The Marine Weather Forecast brought to you by Oyster Yachts. Crafted by British boat builders since 1973, the best ocean-going sailing yachts in the world. The world is your oyster. Make Oyster your world. OysterYachts.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
quite cloudy today with some light drizzle, organised especially for our listeners from Yorkshire. Some brighter weather as the day progresses. Light variable winds, a high of 21 degrees this afternoon. Overnight lows 17 degrees on the coast, 14 degrees inland with partially cloudy skies. Thursday and Friday mainly fine. Highs of 20 to 23 degrees. Finally,
a 5-year-old boy in the States has stolen his parents' car after his mum refused to buy him a Lamborghini and managed to drive 2 miles before being pulled over by the police.
How did he reach the pedals?
I don't know. Well, the 5-year-old explained to the confused officer that his parents were at work and his older sibling was watching over him. But without his babysitter's knowledge, he had managed to get hold of his parents' car keys. And the youngster had only one destination in mind when he set out on his epic escape: California, which is a 12-hour drive from his home in Utah. And why California? Well, he wanted to buy his dream car.
Did he have the sat-nav on?
I don't know, no. He had his dream supercar with only $3 in his pocket.
Ooh.
I don't think my son could even tie his own shoelaces at 5, let alone drive.
Really?
Yeah. We're a bit slow in France with that. They don't have it up on the wall, do they? To tie your shoelaces.
But don't they? We had it up on the wall.
Yeah, but they don't in French nurseries. It was another thing I suggested and got funny looks at, like the sponsored silence
as well.
You're
supposed to teach them, aren't you? I think my mum taught me to do my shoelaces.
No, I know. I did, but then obviously at school...
Didn't do a very good job because I keep coming undone.
You could practice at the same time.
And then we started wearing slip-ons because you didn't have to tie your laces up.
Oh, right.
All the rage in the 70s, slip-ons. You're up to date. The news is on the website, radio.mc, 90 minutes to 8. So actually, a question from, I think it's Tony. Is it Tony in Saint-Tropez? Tony, yes. I was wondering if you have any information on us being able to play pétanque after the lockdown regulations are relaxed next week. I live near Saint-Tropez and we play out on the local village court, 4 or 5 of us normally. Will that be allowed, do you think?
Well, yes, sporting activities. You can go to the minister's page and the government have put out sporting activities. They say 10 metres.
It's more a social recreation, though, isn't it? I mean, it's not really... I mean, I know there is organised pétanque, but...
Hang on a minute. It's a national sport in France.
I know, it's on television.
And I was champion of the VAR.
Were you?
Many moons ago. Yeah, with René. I smashed it. I would have thought
Summer's window with a pétanque ball.
I would have thought so, if you respect the...
What are groups distance. Of how many people are allowed together?
Up to 10.
Up to 10, but... Mm. OK.
So
two teams of five.
I mean, I've never played with more than... No, you don't have 5 people in a team.
Don't you?
It's either 2 or 3.
OK.
Isn't it?
So 5 teams of 2, then?
5 teams of 2.
Mm.
And away you go. Let us know how you get on.
Stand 1.5 metres away from each other.
Yeah, there might be an argument as to who goes and picks up the, what's it called, the little ball?
The cochon.
The cochon?
Yeah.
And who measures it. But...
And will you have to wear masks as well while you're playing?
I would have thought so, yes.
Masked pétanque.
And you'll have to make sure you wipe your balls down.
Yeah. Thank you, Sarah. Yeah, yes, anyway, moving swiftly on. I hope that's cleared that up for you, Tony. Probably hasn't, but that's the best we can do at this time in the morning.